thank you for the word that you put on my heart this week. And I thank you that as it's encouraged me, that it would encourage everyone else in the room today and those who hear my voice from Zoom or whoever. So, Lord, we just commit it to you and we trust you that you knew what I needed to speak on today. So I thank you now in advance that it would do a great work in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Thank you. Yeah. My helper. Thanks, Sue. Okay, one of my favourite scriptures of all times is this one. It's a scripture in Proverbs. It's one that I've gone back to over and over again through life. You know, you get those ones, don't you, and you just go back to them and, I don't know, there's a real peace or something that comes over you. So I've called it, which is part of the scripture, trusting the Lord with all your heart. All your heart. We sang about opening the eyes of our heart today, and I pray that God, that you would open up and receive this word for you. You know, the Bible is full of great principles by which God wants us to live. In fact, from, you know, Genesis to Revelation, there are principles for living because it's God's instruction book to life, isn't it? And the whole book of Proverbs is about acquiring wisdom, about gaining understanding and training and instruction. But this particular passage that we're going to look at today is a conversation between a father to his son, encouraging him and in training him up. So this is Solomon, who was the son of King David, and he's attempting to pour out principles of wisdom and instruction to his young son, principles that are designed to lead a fulfilled life among men, but more importantly, a favoured life before God. Proverbs 3, to me, is also an anchor chapter in the Bible because it's a simple passage, but I've gone back to it, as I said, over and over again. So as you listen to this scripture today, and we're going to do it in bits today, as you hear this scripture, imagine that it's your Father in heaven who is speaking to you today. Proverbs 3. My child, we get? Yep. My child, never forget the things that I have taught you. Store my commands in your heart. If you do this, you will live many years and your life will be satisfying. Never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Tie them around your neck as a reminder. Write them deep in your heart. It's all about the heart here, isn't it? And then you will find favour with both God and people, and you will earn a good reputation. First of all, we have to understand that our Father in heaven is nothing like our earthly Father. So don't compare. Take that away. I had a father who was strict. If he said no, you didn't ask again. You'd go to mum. But if dad said no, it was no. But there was a love, there was provision, there was everything that a dad was. He was a good dad, he worked hard. And sometimes I was a little bit fearful of him, which is not a bad thing because it taught me respect. And it taught me to be obedient as well. And so it was a good thing. And now he's the softest dad, rings me up all the time. And he's 94 and he's spirit-filled and he has the love of God in him. And it's amazing to see how God has softened him over the years too. But how sometimes if we've had an angry father, we think of God as being angry. Or if our father has abandoned us, we can't even imagine how we would have a father in heaven who wouldn't do the same thing. And so we must take off that comparison of our earthly father. Because God loves us unconditionally. So something has to move from your head to your heart. Don't rely on your feelings. Just know that you have a heavenly father who loves you unconditionally. You don't have to perform, do good deeds to get his approval. It doesn't work like that. That's not part of God's character. He just loves you as you are. And you know what? He couldn't love you anymore if he tried. He already does. It's his nature to love us unconditionally. And unconditionally means that he loves us when we behave and he loves us when we misbehave. I thank God that he never changes. And if you don't believe me, if you still think, no, God couldn't love me, well, then you're listening to another voice and it's not God's voice. You see, the enemy would always come in and try and say, no, he couldn't love you. Look at you. How could God love you? But I'm telling you today, ignore that voice and get it from your head to your heart that God loves you. And when he teaches us things, principles of his word, the Bible says to store up these commands in your heart, not your head, your heart. So we're going from our head here to what we're thinking to putting them in our heart. And I don't know how to tell you to do that except that if we say it long enough, if we believe it long enough, it does get there, okay? So then there's a promise, you know, if we do that, if we do everything it's said already to store them up in our heart, then you'll live for many years and your life will be satisfying. I mean, who doesn't want that? Who wants a long life and a satisfying life? We all do. Verse 3 then instructs us, never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Tie them around your neck as a reminder and write them deep in your heart. You see, loyalty and kindness are important character qualities and they both involve actions as well as attitudes. A loyal person acts responsibly. A kind person helps others. Thoughts and words are not enough. Our life reveals whether we're truly loyal and kind, so our actions must measure our attitude. You see, the thing is, if our heart isn't healthy, it can't store these things. Our heart has to be right. So if you've got any unforgiveness toward anyone, any resentment, if their name's mentioned and you're like, oh, you know, maybe something's in here that you haven't forgiven. You see, if we've got all this stuff in our heart, hurts and all these things, we can't store up the good things. We can't store the commands of God because they won't fit in our heart. Our hearts have to be right and healthy before God. So if you have to work on that, that's a good place to start, to forgive and to let go, and then we'll be able to store good things in our heart from God. I love this next verse. Again, it's a promise. Verse 4, it says, then you will find favour with both God and people, and you'll earn a good reputation. Now, while I don't focus on what people think about me, it's important that you have a good reputation, because if we go around doing things that aren't godly, how are we ever going to show the world that God lives in us, okay? You won't be any different. So earning a good reputation is a good thing. I remember saying to my mother, I don't care what they think of me, you know, I'm going to do this. But now I'm going, yeah, it's a good thing to earn a good reputation, because we must always aim to please God first. But if we're a people pleaser and been there too, you know, we will be pleasing people and not God. But when you please God, people will be pleased and you will earn a good reputation. Now, you know, with us in business, we've worked hard. We haven't always got it right, but we've worked hard to earn a good reputation in our business, paying our bills on time, treating our staff well, doing everything that we can do to earn a good reputation. We have a good reputation with our suppliers because we pay our bills and we do the right thing. It's the same as the church. We pay our bills on time, don't we, Joe? And we do all the good things that would earn us a good reputation. So it's important to find favour with both God and people. Then verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Here's the heart again. And do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all that you do, and he will show you which path to take. Yep. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. And then, is a promise, you will have healing for your body and strength for your bones. There's so much in this passage. So many promises, if we will do this, if we will do that. You know, the thing, though, about trust is that, you know, most of us have been let down by someone at some point in time, and often the closest people have hurt us. And if we're really honest, we've let other people down too. It's important that we take responsibility for that, not just blame everybody else. And that helps us to move on. But trust can be a huge issue for some people, especially when they've been abused or, I don't know, whatever has happened in life. They have real trouble to trust. Now, someone gave me some great advice once when I was going through a situation. If we put our trust in people, right, we have an expectation on that person to deliver, don't we? So I was advised, take off all your expectations. Take them off people. Don't expect it. Don't think, oh, they're not going to help me, but just don't put this expectation on them, because there are times when we'll be disappointed. So I put my expectation on God, and I trust God. And I don't look to, do I trust you? Do I trust? I don't think like that. I'm not saying I don't trust you. I'm just saying I just don't put my trust there. I just go, God, I trust you for whatever's going on. And it just, you don't get offended by people then. You don't get disappointed. It's a real freeing revelation that I did, and it worked for me. You see, I knew how much God loved me. I had that revelation, and I knew he'd never let me down, and so I could depend on him. I could put my trust in him. And so instead of looking to everyone else for their advice, which is good advice sometimes, but they don't know the will of God for my life. Only God does. Because I can trust him with all things in my heart. So I'm saying to you today, if you're putting your trust in a person so much so, then take it off. Take off that expectation and put it on to God. It's amazing how freeing that actually is. I'm not saying to not trust people. You know, I think I'm a trustworthy person, but I am not God, and I do not have the capacity to meet your needs. Only God does. But I can assure you that if you come to me, you can trust me to point you to God. I will use experiences and wisdom, but I will always point you to God for yourself. Best place to be. So now we know that in life there are consequences for our actions. Like if you play with fire, you will get burnt. And we all have choices in life, don't we? And they have consequences, good and bad, depending on our choices. If you eat too much of the wrong food, you will put on weight. Yep. If you spend more than you earn, you will go broke. If you break the law, you will suffer the consequences. So I've got this other piece of great advice, and this is it. Obey God and leave all the consequences to him. Obey God and leave all the consequences to him. But firstly, this requires us to listen to God. See, if we don't know how to listen to him, we're not going to know how to be obedient to him. And people say, well, I don't know what God's saying. I don't know how to hear from God. But it is our responsibility to learn to listen. And believe me, he does speak to us. I can remember one night thinking, God, where's this going? What, you know, what's going on? And he gave me a vision for way out there. And I just thought to myself, well, that wasn't my thought. That was too ridiculous for me. So, God, I know that was from you. So that gave me a trust in him to keep walking through the good, through the bad, through the ups, through the downs, that he had that at the end of it. And so it encouraged me. And I would say to you too, if you're going through something and you really don't know which way to turn, ask him for something to hang on to, whether it's out here or for now. I don't know, he will tell you what you need to hear. But he does speak to us. And again, it's when he speaks to me, it's just like a knowing in my spirit. It's just like I know something. I didn't hear his voice, but I just know something. And I think that's because it's in my heart. I've stored up his commands in my heart, just like this scripture says. And so now I'm coming out of my heart, not my head and not my feelings, but out of my heart where I know that the Holy Spirit is. You know, after all, if we're Christians and the Holy Spirit lives in us, of course he would want to speak to us. Of course he would want us to be guided by him and to hear what he has to say. You know, he would want to tell us what to do, obviously. And the Bible gives us the general principles and guides for life. You know, but, it's all in here, you know. The principles of life are all here. And if we use the principles, they work for any situation. You know, my life, the principles I use will work for something you're going through because they're all from God. But then there's the specific things that we need to know, like who to marry. Well, the Bible tells us that if we're going to marry someone, make sure that they're equally yoked with you. Make sure if you're a Christian, don't marry someone who isn't. It won't work because God already knows that. And so take his advice now. So we need that specific advice. Lord, is this the one? Is this the one? Or whatever the situation is, that was just the one that came to me. Even the little small things in life, we need to hear. And I tell you, when you hear, you need to be obedient because God knows. And, you know, over life when we haven't been obedient and we think, oh, I'm sick of waiting, God. I'm sick of waiting. You know, here I am, whatever age, and, you know, I'm still not married. We'll wait because he has the perfect plan. And if we don't wait, it can be a disaster. And waiting is hard. Waiting is hard when we want something. But I've learned to find peace in waiting because rushing will only cause me to rely on my understanding and not God's. And another amazing scripture that has helped me so much through life when I've been waiting is this one, Psalm 37, verses 3-7. Trust in the Lord. Here's that trust word again. We can trust God. Trust me. So trust in the Lord and do good. Just keep going on life, doing what we need to do while we're waiting. Then you will live safely in the land and prosper. I don't think I went to verse 7. Doesn't matter. Is that all I've got? Okay, I haven't written the rest. Okay, there we go. Take delight in the Lord and he will give you your heart's desire. There's the heart thing again. Now, I find that when this desire comes in me to do whatever it is, I found that God's actually put it in there because he knows the giftings and the callings that he's got for me. So he puts it in my heart. So why would he put it there if he wasn't going to give it to you? So then commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him and he will help you. He will make your innocence radiate like the dawn. And the justice of your cause will shine like the noonday sun. Be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him. Don't worry about evil people who prosper or fret about their wicked schemes. So this is a scripture again that helped me wait patiently. You know, they had moments of impatience, but of course we're going to. But you go back and you read it and you're like, okay. Okay, God, here I am. I'm just going to trust you. And peace comes with that. Peace comes with trusting him. Isaiah 64:4. I think I've got the wrong page in the wrong spot. Here it is. I have learned to be obedient in waiting, and I know that I have heard from him. So when I've heard something, I'm happy to wait. Because I know, I've put this to the test. I didn't always. I rushed. I got it wrong at times. But when you learn something, learn from it. Don't do it again. You see, when we've heard from him, it's then when we can go forward in confidence. But know that the consequences of God's, what he's telling you, is his problem. Again, you think, God, if you put me there, you're going to keep me there, you're going to sustain me, you're going to provide for me, you're going to do this. And he does. If we put ourselves there, we've got to have the strength to keep ourselves there, to look after ourselves, to run in our strength, not his. It doesn't work. So wait patiently and have peace while you're waiting. You know, there are reasons. Maybe it's not the right time. Maybe God's told you something, but it's not time yet. I remember back in 2001, I had a word in that corner. Julie, you're going to be a minister of the word. It wasn't for 2001. It was for now. And so I waited and I didn't push myself, but I knew in my heart that some one day that would come true. I didn't know if I wanted it, but now I know if I'm in his will that everything else works together. So the other thing is maybe God's got a better plan. You think, well, I want this. I want to move here or I want to do that. And it's not working. Be patient and wait for God to show you. It's like the traffic lights. If you've got a red light, you stop. If you've got a green light, you're like, okay, I'm ready to go, but I'm just not sure. And as soon as you get that green light, you can go. You see, God has the plan, and they're not always our plans, but he knows best. And he doesn't just withhold something from us. He's a good father. We sang about that today. He's a good, good father. And so he wants the best for us. So why wouldn't he give us what the desire that he's put in our heart? We just have to trust him. And I've learned that running ahead of him and making wrong choices only has bad consequences. Isaiah 64, he's my favourite man at the moment, Isaiah, and he says, "For since the world began, no ear has heard and no eye has seen a God like you who works for those who wait for him." You know, there's reward in waiting. And waiting, remember, is focusing on him while we're waiting, not focusing on our problems. Remember, when we know we've heard from God, it's then his responsibility for the outcome. We are just responsible for our obedience. It's like I can say, well, God, you said this, so now it's up to you, and I'm going to rest in that, and I'm going to trust you. Do you know that just gives you so much peace? I've said it, but I'm saying it again. There's such a peace in just letting the consequences be his. It's just amazing. See, a lot of people have fear about, well, okay, I'm going here, but I don't know what's next. I'm not sure. He hasn't said any more than just go here, you know. You see, we want to know the big picture, but God doesn't always tell us that. That's why it's called a walk of faith, because it's we're doing it by faith. We're like, okay, God, I'm going to trust you. I'll put my faith in you. I'll do it, and I'm going to wait for you to then move again or to tell me what to do then. You see, we can't always see what's next, but when we learn to trust him completely, then he will take us wherever he needs to. And he's not going to take you anywhere that you're not going to cope with. He knows that, you know. Like, he's taken Graham to the mission field but in Africa, but he's not taking me, and that's okay. That's okay. And so people, when they don't know what's next, they're afraid to trust him, and quite often then they don't do anything. They're not obedient because they want to know, well, if I do this, what's next? And you know, at the moment, clairvoyants are going to them in huge numbers. Because you know what? Everybody wants to know, what's my future? Like, things are looking bad. Interest rates are going up. Diesel prices. Like, if you sit and you focus on all that, you will have fear. And if you're worrying about China, you'll have fear. If you're worrying about all these things. And so clairvoyants are in huge demand at the moment. You know what? That is a very big no-no in God. It's a dangerous place to ever do. And some people may have gone completely ignorant in our early days, and we can say, God, we're sorry for that. But forget that. Cleanse me of that. We're going to trust you. You see, in Deuteronomy, it tells us here, don't try and learn what will happen in the future by talking to a fortune teller. or by going to a magician, a witch, or a sorcerer. Don't let anyone try to put magic spells on other people. Don't let any of your people become a medium or a wizard. And no one should try and talk to someone who has died. They're no-nos in God. Big no-nos. And you might say, well, you know, when I went there, they actually told me some things that how would they have known? Well, I'm telling you, there's a thing called a familiar spirit. And they study us and they know us. And then they talk to this person and they can tell you things. But that is not of God. Stay away from that. It's from the devil. You see, the devil has a counterfeit action for everything God does. He wants to step in. I can remember this girl years ago when we had church in the high school, and she'd just become a Christian, and she'd had such a bad, you know, past and terrible things and that, and she was just beginning to learn about God and getting rid of all that stuff. And the next thing she says, God sent me a man. And I'm thinking, no, I don't think he has, because I don't think you're ready for that. Oh, no, he sent me this fella. You know, this is God, because the fella might have said something, and, you know, she's like, oh, no, this is from God. And I'm like, no, God actually doesn't do that. He'll wait till you're ready for that. Then what happened? She gets with this fella, never seen her again since. You know, God is a counterfeit. He will try and the devil will try and take you away any way he can. But don't believe it. God has a better way. So really it means turning every area of our life over to him and seek his will for our life. And then it goes on in verse 7, it says, be careful not to be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. You see, pride can make us be impressed with ourselves, you know, shine up your badge. But be careful. Be careful of that. And fear the Lord. It doesn't mean be afraid of him. That's not what this word fear here means. But have a healthy sense of reverence. Like I said, I did with my dad. You know, a healthy sense of revering him and honouring him. That's what this means. And when we have that healthy sense that God is holy, yes, he's our friend, he's our comforter, there's a whole list of what he is, but he's also a holy God, and we need to revere him and fear him. And so it says here, and then turn away from evil. You know, just don't go near it. Just run. Don't go near anything that you know. And the Holy Spirit will tell you not to go there. He will give you that in your heart. And here's the promise. If we're doing all that, he says, then you'll have healing for your body and strength for your bones. Wow. Another great promise. You see, I think when we begin to carry stuff ourselves, guilt or shame or unforgiveness, you know, our mental health suffers. And then our bodies suffer because we're not created to carry this stuff. And so everything that we hang on to and festers in us, it will come out in our bodies. So this is a wonderful promise if we will put all these things into practice. Then we go on to the last section here. It says, honour the Lord with your wealth. Well, doesn't this include everything here? My goodness, trusting him with our lives and his will for our life. Honour the Lord with your wealth. That's not, again, something people have problems in trusting. And with the best part of everything you produce. Then here's the promise. Then he'll fill your barns with grain. Of course, it's talking about in the days when this was written. You know, you could say he's going to supply all your needs for your shopping and your groceries and things like that. You can put your bit in there, and your vats will overflow with good wine. They're probably not talking about wine. Well, you don't want a vat of wine, really, do we? But my child, it says, don't reject the Lord's discipline. And don't be upset when he corrects you, for the Lord corrects those that he loves, just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights. I love this word again, to honour God with our wealth. I've I can testify to everything in this scripture. You know, when you honour someone, you want to give them your best. You want to do your best for them. But it all begins with God's unconditional love. When we've received that in our heart, you know, it grows, and then we overwhelmingly love God and we want to give back to him, because really he's given to us in the first place. Everything we actually have is from him. And so then you want to obey him. You want to do what he says, because you know that he knows you best. And the next, you know, this is one of the most profitable things that I've ever done, is given generously to the Lord's work. I've discovered that if I've become attached to things in life materially and I hang on to them, then I'm holding on to something and God can't put anything else in my hand because they're full of my stuff. We've got to have open hands and say, God, I trust you with my finances too. It's one of the hardest things to let go of, I think. But I'm trusting you, and you take what you need. And when I open my hands and say that, he can fill it up with things he wants to fill it up with. He can give me more that I can give more. He can do more in me that I can give more out. And so I've learned to not be attached to anything. And any time that money becomes a priority, take note, you might lose it if we hang on to it, because money is not our goal. So once again, this requires trusting God. Money is often one of the hardest things for people to let go of, and they hold on tightly. But if we follow his principles of giving, which are all in Malachi and throughout scriptures, he will prosper you in ways that you cannot imagine. This demonstrates that God, not possessions, have first place in our life, and that our resources all belong to him. We're actually only the managers of it and good stewards of it. And here's something else. It will protect you from greed. It will protect you from selfishness and protect you from becoming materialistically attached. Again, there's freedom. There's freedom in these things when they don't have a hold of you. And I tithe, and I can go to bed at night and say, thank you, God, because I've done what you've asked. You will provide all my needs, and I can sleep peacefully and not worry about all the bills that are going to come in. And I've been there and worried and stressed. And then it worked. My tithing began to work. You know, we mightn't have had enough money to pay bills in the business, and I'm like, I've tithed, but then somehow the money comes in. I didn't get a check in the mail. No one sent me that check, but he gave us more work, and he gave us the workers to do it. And so that's how God blessed us in that way. When we gave, then he gave back to us. And it works. The principles work. You see, that everything in this nation tells us to, you know, if you have more of this, you'll be happy. If you have more of that, you'll be happy. But those things ultimately don't bring you any happiness. There's no peace and no joy in those things. It's only found in a relationship with Jesus Christ and trusting him. So if you haven't, start tithing. Give it a go. See what God does. I promise that he is honest to his word, that he will provide all your needs. And it says here, where is it? That your vats will overflow. Wow, that's amazing. Finally, don't reject the Lord's discipline. And don't be upset when he corrects you. For the Lord corrects those that he loves, just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights. I mean, when babies, you know, are going to touch the fire, you are going to go, no, don't touch, you know, little tap on the hand, because a loving father is not going to let his child get burnt. And so when the Lord disciplines us, it's really that he's teaching us, he's training us. It sounds negative because, you know, some people have come in contact with disciplinarians which are not loving. But however, God is the source of all love. He doesn't punish us. He enjoys inflicting pain because he's deeply concerned about our development. He knows that in order to become morally strong and good, we must learn the difference between right and wrong. And his love, discipline enables to do that. You know, and then after those verses, it goes on to say, and joyful is the one who finds wisdom. There's something about freedom when we live in God's principles. Can we just look? I'm going to read those verses again in order. Take them in. This is your Father speaking to you. My child, never forget the things that I have taught you. Store my commands in your heart. If you do this, you will live for many years and your life will be satisfying. Never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Tie them around your neck as a reminder and write them deep in your heart. Then you will find favour with both God and people and you will earn a good reputation. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do and he'll show you which path to take. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord. Turn away from evil. Then you'll have healing for your body and strength for your bones. Honour the Lord with your wealth and the best part of everything you produce. And then he will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine. My child, don't reject the Lord's discipline and don't be upset when he corrects you. For the Lord corrects those he loves, just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights. Amen. So much in those 12 verses, aren't there? Pretty much life. Yes. Now, what we're going to do now is I want you to listen to this. It's a love letter. You may have heard it before. It's from the Father to you. And so we're going to play this, and then there'll be some songs as well, some worship songs. And if you